number three, and this is the first decision point. If you understand the question, okay, answer it honestly in the least number of words as possible, and shut the fuck up.
That's hard.
Sometimes
for me
to just say stop talking.
Yes.
But I know you, Angie. Shut the fuck up. Okay.
Yeah. Go on. Yeah.
Think about the question. Or listen to the question. Think about the question. If you understand it, answer it honestly in the least number of words as possible.
Okay.
Stop talking. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, let's not snitch on oneself.
That's
it's
right.
What you're saying, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
Welcome back to the Tool for This Shit podcast. I'm your host, Angie Sorensen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad to have you here. If you're new, this is an interview-based podcast where you'll find a wide range of topics and guests, just because I'm just curious about a lot of different topics. So you'll find guests like doctors, sex workers, women who escaped Christian cults, scientists, lawyers, psychotherapists, coaches, divorce lawyers, and so many more. So today I am welcoming back the wonderful Seth Nelson, and we're keeping things spontaneous on my end. Okay, basically it's a full improv just because of the topic. So it's complete improv. I didn't prepare other than the last two questions and obviously my introduction to him. But listen, I think we can dive straight into the interview since it's all pretty self-explanatory. So without further ado, let's give a big warm welcome to Seth. Let's begin. Well, Seth, welcome back to the Tool for This Shit podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today.
So excited to be here. And I totally agree with the title of your show and how I feel sometimes.
Well, yeah, especially after the holidays, we're like, yes.
Exactly.
Put your whole year in perspective again. So look, I'm really happy to have you back. I'm really glad you said yes. You were here last time in 2022. Your episode came out in November 2022. It was episode number 95 called How to Not Get Divorced. And that was you and Pete, who's basically, you are both like this little power couple. And you both co-host the podcast, very, very popular, very successful podcast called How to Split a Toaster. And so, so I've been in communication, I think like in Q3 last year or Q4, and asked if you'd like to come back. And I wanted to do a live presentation of how to prep for a deposition. So I'm going to be your client and you'll do what you do. So, which means that this will be 100% improvisation on my part. Hopefully not from yours.
No, I've done it a lot. We're good.
Because you're in full control. So, but just before we dive into my demise, Seth, for those who don't know you, please introduce yourself, what you do and where you live.
So I'm in Tampa, Florida, in Hillsborough County, Florida, which is on the kind of halfway up on the west coast of Florida. We, you know, last year, unfortunately, had a lot of hurricanes come through. Mm-hmm. But I'm a divorce attorney, been doing it for a very long time. I'm managing partner of NLG, Divorce and Family Law. And as you mentioned, we have a podcast with Pete and his business partner, Andy, have a... totally, their job is the best job in the world. They literally produce podcasts for a living. So they have True Story FM, which you can find anywhere online, and you can download all their great shows. And we're very fortunate to be part of their stable that they have there.
Yeah.
And we have How to Split a Toaster. We affectionately call it The Toaster. It's a divorce podcast about saving your relationships.
Yeah, no, it's great. And also, like, I definitely encourage like anyone to go and listen to your podcast, because you guys are very, very funny. There's a great chemistry. Like, you just got like the right, just a super, super team. So it's always a pleasure to like, you know, communicate with you both and having you on the show. So
yeah, and now the good news is, because I've taken Pete through this drill that we're going to do with you.
Yeah,
we can at the end of it say that you did better, and you know, we won't tell him which way happens either way.
Obviously, I mean, that's like for sure gotta tell him that. And before we go into that, can you just explain what is a deposition and if it only is an American thing or is this like an international thing?
Yeah, so to back up, when you're in a litigation, whether it's divorce litigation or any litigation, there's this process that is very mysterious. It's called discovery. And the concept of this discovery is when you get to court, it's not like in the movies where someone has the smoking gun document that no one has seen before. You're supposed to know what everyone is going to bring to court. Now, this is in different jurisdictions. In the UK, they might do it differently. There's not a lot of discovery. It's more kind of, hey, what's happening in court is happening. And that's from the barristers that I've spoken to in the UK about this. So you really have to check your local jurisdiction all over the world. But in the US, you have a lot of discovery where I'm allowed to get information from the other side. I'm allowed to get information from third parties or entities. So think of me sending a subpoena to a bank to get financial records, or sending it to an accountant to get financial records, or maybe to a person's employer to figure out what their income was and do they have any time off, or what's their work schedule if you're dealing with a parenting issue. Will they be able to pick the kids up in time or drop them off in the morning? So you can get this information from third parties, but you can also, and there's different types of discovery. There's what I call oral discovery, depositions, which we're going to go into in detail. But then there's written discovery. I can ask for documents that I can review. I can ask them to answer questions called interrogatories. I can write out very clear, concise statements of fact and have them admit or deny those facts. So the concept is to limit what you have to prove at trial on requests for admissions. Those are the facts. Sometimes it's just, hey, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on in this case. And so there's different methods, but the deposition is my favorite. And the deposition is my favorite is because you get to ask questions under oath. And then if they don't, whatever they say can come back to hurt them in their case in trial.
Okay.
So if they change, like if let's say someone was in a traffic accident and they said in their deposition the light was green. And then when they get to their trial, they say, no, the light was red. Well, now that's contradicting what they said. And so you can what's called impeach them on their credibility, and then, well, does the judge believe them now? Why are they lying now? Were they lying then? What happened? But it's an art, not a science, and clients get very nervous, and so we spend a lot of time preparing our clients for depositions.
And is a deposition is like another? It's almost like another set of evidence on top of, like, let's say, receipts, camera, like video footage, that kind of things. And of course, it's nerve-wracking, right? Because sometimes, I mean, for example, memory, right? You can't always trust your memory. You may remember something like the light being red and then you go, oh, no, actually it was green. You know, it can happen to all of us, you know, memory is not really reliable. So you said that obviously you can then be impeached if you didn't keep to the same
set of facts. Mm-hmm. Yep. But the questions have to be asked in a specific way. You have to ask them the same way in the trial. So there's a lot of lawyering that goes on with that.
Okay. Yep. Well, I'm already
nervous. You look nervous.
I am. I'm nervous. I'm like, because I just know my memory sometimes can. It's weird because I've got a very good memory. I don't know. I'm not on trial, but I feel like I'm already panicking. But it's just, sometimes memory can be really.
The questions I'm going to ask you to start, you know the answers to.
Yeah. Hopefully.
You know the answers. You don't even know, but I'm telling you, you know the answers. So a deposition is when I sit down across the table from someone. And I ask them questions under oath, and you have that court reporter, the stenographer, taking everything down with a transcript, because then you can use that transcript later in trial. So, you ready?
I am.
Okay. So, there's a few things that we want to prepare you for your deposition. And there's just some basic, simple rules that we go through. And if you follow the rules, this will be great. Now, we'll pretend this is a divorce case and the other side wants to take your children from you and your money. You don't want to help them do that. You want to make their job harder. And you don't want to help them take your money and your kid. So here we go. Here are your rules. Are you ready?
Yes.
Listen to the question. You can write them down. Listen to the question.
Yeah.
Number two, think about the question. number three, and this is the first decision point. If you understand the question, okay, answer it honestly in the least number of words as possible, mm-hmm. and shut the fuck up.
That's hard.
Sometimes I just say stop talking.
Yes.
But I know you, Angie. Shut the fuck up. Okay.
Yeah. Go on. Yeah.
Think about the question, or listen to the question. Think about the question. If you understand it, answer it honestly in the least number of words as possible.
Okay.
Stop talking. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Let's not snitch on oneself.
That's
it's
right.
What you're saying, basically.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Okay. Those are pretty basic questions or rules to follow, right, Angie?
Yeah. But what if I don't understand? Can I just ask them to repeat?
So there's a couple other rules. You can always say, can please repeat the question? Mm-hmm. You can say, I don't understand the question, but things you don't do is you don't ask them questions.
Got it.
Okay. You just follow my rules. That's all you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're not thinking about where the questioner is taking you and leading you by a series of questions, right? You don't answer the question you want to answer. You answer the question that is asked.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm not a politician, basically.
That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. You ready?
Yeah. I'm just going to
cut. We're going to start here. I'm the other lawyer. My job is to take your kids and your money from you. Don't help me do my job.
Oh, you're already the enemy. You're not my own lawyer prepping me.
No,
okay. Got it. Okay.
This is
wow.
How we do the prep. I got to pretend I'm the bad guy.
Yeah. You're the bad guy. Yeah. Okay.
You're on the stand. We're going to start. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go. State your name for the record.
Angie Sorensen.
Okay. Seth Nelson back here. I'm your lawyer. I'm helping you out. Review your rules. And then tell me how you did on your rules. In the United States, we have grades A, B, C, D, or F. But, you know, would you give yourself an A, a B? What would you give yourself?
I was going to say an A, but clearly it's not.
Well, I'm just asking you.
A.
F. There we go.
Ah!
Don't worry, Angie. Everyone's failed this test.
Yeah.
Here we go. What did I say to you when I said, I'm the bad lawyer, let's get started? What words came out of my mouth?
State your name.
State your name for the record. Very good. Here's my thing. Is that a question or is that a statement?
Oh, okay, that's a statement.
Right.
Wait, so,
anywhere
I mean,
in my rules, does it say answer statements?
No.
No, you answer questions.
Mm. So do I say, what's
Hold
the
on.
Question?
We'll get there. No, yeah. You don't ask questions, okay? But here's the thing. This is not a conversation. This is an interview. They ask the questions, you give an answer. They ask a question, you give an answer. This is not a conversation. It's an interview.
Okay.
So you would answer the statement because I'm going to look stupid in court objecting that that's not a question. And I don't want to look stupid in court.
Yeah.
So there's always an exception to the rule. But now we're going to try it again. Here we go. You ready? I'm the bad guy trying to take your money and kids from you. Don't help me. What is your name?
Wait, I'm not supposed to. It's the statement, no. Why, so I don't answer.
No, my question was, what is your name? It was a question this time.
Oh, do you know what? Oh, damn. Yeah. Okay, right. So sorry. Angie Sorensen.
Okay. Seth Nelson here helping you out. A, B, C, D, or F?
It's going to be a B.
Why?
Because you gave me an F before. No way I can get an A now.
Nope. I'll give you a C.
Oh.
Now, here's why.
Come on.
Angie. I don't know if we want to share this. Are you in a relationship right now with anyone?
No.
Okay, so you're at the pub with your girlfriends, and this really attractive guy comes up, and he goes, you know, you caught my eye from across the pub. You are absolutely stunning, and I've seen you laughing with your friends, and you light up the room. I would love to get your phone number so I could take you out and maybe celebrate New Year's Eve next year after we've been together for a year in New York, and I'll fly you over on my jet. And he says, what is your name? What do you say?
I would just say Angie if I gave him my name.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, and I didn't do that. Got it.
That's right, because that's the least number of words as possible. And what I did, Angie, is I put you in a casual setting at a pub, as opposed to a formal setting that you're thinking about in a deposition or court.
Mm-hmm.
But nowhere in my instructions does it say answer formally.
Yeah.
It says answer in the least number of words as possible.
And you didn't even say full name. You just said, like, what's your name, I think.
That's right. And you've actually picked up on it because you're smart. What my next lesson would be, my next question is, now I'm the bad guy. What is your full name? Go ahead and answer.
Angie Sorensen.
Do you have a middle name?
I do.
Okay. Did you give me your middle name when I asked you what is your full name?
No, and actually I lied from the
understand
start.
Understand my, excuse me, ma'am, I'm talking the questions. The court reporter can't record us both, so please wait till I finish my question. Did you understand my question when I said what was your full name?
Yes, I did.
And so did you decide not to answer it truthfully? Did you see just by, now I'm Seth here. See how I'm like in your head?
Yeah.
Right? Because now you're a little anxious. You're breathing a little hard. And this is all about your middle name.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. Never mind about like how much money I spent last
That's
year,
right.
So, yeah.
That's right. So that's why you have to really listen to the question.
Mm-hmm,
and I've done that with people because it gets them rattled right up front. None of it is important for the case, but now I'm going to start asking them other questions that are important. Mm-hmm. That's why you got to follow these rules.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very useful.
Okay. So I want you to think of, we're just past New Year's Eve. So this is how depositions work. And we have not discussed this for all the listeners before right now. I want you to think of a couple pretty basic facts about your New Year's Eve evening. Okay? And I'm going to ask you questions about New Year's Eve. And if it's something personal you don't want to share, don't share it. But let's see how many, if I can get to one or two of those interesting, fun facts that might have happened on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's my job. I don't know what happened on New Year's Eve, but my job is to find out what happened on New Year's Eve.
Got it. You ready? Yeah.
Okay. What is your name?
Angie.
What is your full name?
Angie beep beep Sorensen.
Okay. Did you go out on New Year's Eve?
No.
Did you stay home on New Year's Eve?
Yes.
And was anybody with you on New Year's Eve?
No.
What did you do on New Year's Eve?
I stayed home.
Did you do anything to celebrate New Year's Eve?
Yes.
What did you do to celebrate New Year's Eve?
I watched June 2, part of June 2.
And what, if anything, prevented you from watching all of June 2?
I didn't realize it was 3 hours long.
So did you fall asleep in front of the telly or did you turn it off?
Turned it off.
Did you eat a meal that evening?
Yes.
And what did you eat?
Chicken soup.
And did you prepare that yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And did you talk to anybody from 6 p.m. till after or up until when you went to bed that evening?
Yes.
Who did you speak with? If you can make up a name if you want.
Family and Barbara.
Okay. And who's Barbara?
A friend.
And how long did that conversation last?
10 minutes.
So right now, at this point, we've been doing this, but have I gotten to any of the facts that you were thinking of? that I might need to find and take in your deposition about New Year's Eve?
Yes, I was actually worried. Are you going to ask me if I watched any? Like, I didn't want to have to say I was watching a movie. I don't know why. But yes.
Right. Right. But you see, I didn't know anything about your New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And now I know that you were home.
Yeah.
That you had chicken soup. You watched a movie that was too long and you turned it off. You talked to your friend Barbara. You called family. Like, and that's just me being inquisitive.
Yeah.
And some of the questions I kind of did a little leading might gotten an objection on form because there's a lot of rules. But you see how you're a little nervous just answering this stuff? And
yeah.
You don't want people, for whatever reason, you didn't want people to know that you were home on New Year's Eve watching a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Because there's a pressure inside yourself that you should be out on the town having a good time and getting kissed at midnight.
Yeah.
But that's all internal pressure.
Yeah.
And I mean, I will tell you that my wife got a little bit annoyed with me on New Year's Eve because I was falling asleep on the couch at 6 p.m.
Yeah, you know? I can't stay up till like, my brain doesn't work right the next day if I...
Right.
No, I wanted to stay home. I did exactly everything I wanted.
Right.
But it's always a little bit embarrassing to admit, especially when I said chicken soup. The thing that came to mind was like, oh, chicken soup for the soul. I was like, oh, damn. I was like, it's just because it's one of my favorite dish, but it's not because,
But you see how you're in your head?
Yeah.
And I try to get my clients to be out of their head.
Mm-hmm.
You're really just answering a question. And you don't care how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me take you through this other exercise, because not caring how you look and not defending yourself in a deposition is really important and really hard to do.
Yeah.
Because think about this. I'm the big bad lawyer on the other side. Angie, at the end of your deposition, you should look bad. You should look bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other side hasn't had a chance to question you. So now I'm going to give you a little break. I'm going to make you the judge.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the issue in this case. The father, husband, wants 50-50 time sharing with the children. He wants to spend half the time with him and have them spend half the time with the mom. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the first part of his testimony as the judge, you have to decide whether he's going to get 50-50 timesharing. You with me?
At what point do I have to decide that, you said?
Right when he's done questioned by the wife's lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to make a decision. And then the husband's lawyer, his own lawyer, is going to question him. And then you'll see whether you stick with the decision you originally made. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. I am now going to play the role of the wife's lawyer and the husband on the stand because it will go quicker. Sir, are you asking for 50-50 time sharing? Yes. In the last 365 days, how many overnights have you had the children stay with you? 5. How many times have you texted the children in the last 365 days? None. How many times have you called the children in the last 365 days? None. How many times have you sent them any correspondence by the mail? 12 times. And you're asking this court to give you 50-50 timesharing? Yes. Has your wife, their mother, prevented you in any way, shape, or form from communicating with the kids for the last 365 days? No. Is she a good mom? She's a fantastic mom. She does the world of great for these children. No further questions. Your Honor, Judge Angie, do you give them 50-50 time sharing?
Well, I definitely like to hear the other side, but...
That's not your choice at this point. No, I hear
not,
you.
No, I quite like the 12 correspondence by mail, because who writes letters anymore? So that's... Yeah. Feels more meaningful than text, but no calls, five nights, there could be a context. I'd be hesitant. Do I have to say a yes or a no?
Based yes, on a that? Yes or no.
Oh, shoot, that's hard. I'm going to have to say yes.
You're saying yes, even though this guy hasn't seen his kids but 5 overnights.
But he's written to them 12 times.
In a year. 365 days.
That's one letter per month. That's how many letters do you get?
So
apart from bills, I mean personal letters,
but that's what you're resting it on.
That's the one thing the fact that he speaks so highly of the mom.
Okay. In all my years, you're the only person that's given this deadbeat dad that doesn't see his children call him or have overnights with him.
That's because mine is worse. Don't take much. Yeah, I think there's a lot worse out there.
Okay, but that's not what you compare it to. You got to do what's in the best interest of the children.
Oh yeah, but it's a 12 male. I don't know. I mean, I may be wrong, but that's yeah. Okay. I'd give him a shot.
All right. Well, you're the only. Any judge in the world would never have done that, but there's always a first, and that's why you have appellate court so that we can go say the guy was a deadbeat and you didn't do anything. Okay. Yeah. But now let's listen to the other side, because the listeners are thinking, Angie, I can't believe you gave him 50-50.
I know. My jaw was to the floor when, like, no calls, no texts, five overnights. I think you saw my jaw dropped. I was like, what the fuck? But then the rest is like half and half. The half is bad, half is good. So I have to go with the
Okay,
good.
Here we go. Got it. But he looks pretty bad on those things. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm his lawyer.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask him questions. Mm-hmm. Sir, are you currently employed? No. What do you do? I'm retired. When did you retire? Yesterday. What was your employment for the last 365 days? I was a naval officer for the United States Navy. Angie's dancing now because she knew.
I knew that was a context. No one writes 12 letters for no reason.
So here we go. And where were you stationed for the last 365 days? I was stationed on the United States aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt. And how many nights was the Theodore Roosevelt in port? Five. What port? Our home port. And where did you spend those five nights with the children? Uh-huh, where was the aircraft carrier the other 360 days? I can't tell you because it's classified. However, I can share with you that we were out at sea the entire time. Are you allowed to send text messages when you're on board? No. Are you allowed to make phone calls when you're on board? No. Are you allowed to send letters when you're on board? Yes. How often? Once a month. Where do you currently live? Two blocks from the marital home. Why did you pick that home? It's in the same development. It's the same builder, so the house is identical except for the color, but the layout's perfect. I want to be close to where the children were at their home. With mom, so if we forget something, it's easy to go back and forth if they ever need anything. It's in the same school district, same gated community. Are you able to exercise 50-50 time sharing? Yes. Why? Because I'm retired.
See, my radar is good. My radar is good. I knew something was good with him. Ta-da. So, and he's extra good. So I win.
There you go. Well, you're the judge. You don't win. Yes, you just make the decision.
Well,
so
I do win.
So he gets 50-50, right? So now we're at 50-50, right? But look at what happened in that deposition, or if it was in trial in a hypothetical. Notice he just answered the questions that were asked in the least number of words as possible, and he looked bad. You struggled, half bad, half good. Mm-hmm. But he looked bad. But what he didn't do was do this. Well, how many times did you text the children? Well, none, but it's because I was out at sea and I'm not allowed to do that. It sounds defensive.
Yeah.
It's not as persuasive. When you answer the questions the way I instruct my clients to answer the questions, and then you answer them honestly, least number of words possible, when I'm asking the question, it kills the other side's case.
Yeah.
But people get defensive. Mm-hmm. And they know they're looking bad. And they know that it's not the full story, and they want to tell their story. But your job isn't to tell your story. Your job is to answer the questions. Now, of course, to really be prepared for your depo, you had to have met with your lawyer and understand what the theme is of your case, understand the information the other lawyer might be asking you, and just to always answer honestly so we can build up our case through the discovery process. It's not easy. You were worried about having chicken people soup. Know that you had chicken soup.
I've got work to do. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. And it's, I mean, I do also prefer when people are not defensive. It feels a lot stronger and a lot less messy. So I understand why it makes sense. Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. What did you learn?
Well, definitely listen. Don't, especially because once you, because you said, you know, to listen to the question, and then I did not hear when it was not, I did not hear that it was a statement. And then when you actually did ask the question, I was like, I didn't hear it was a question, right? So listening. And
That's a big one, though.
yeah, just answer just before fight, you know?
Yeah. Answering the question asked is key, especially in court, not just depositions, but it's the same skill set. When a question's asked, the judge who's making the decisions is looking for that answer. And if you don't answer it, then it sounds like you're trying to be diverting and not answering and like going back and forth and vacillating. And the other thing is, you're allowed to explain your answer. I usually tell my clients, don't explain your answer. I'll deal with that. But if it's a yes or no question, answer yes or no and stop talking. But if it is a yes or no and you want to explain, you should answer the yes or no first and then explain, as opposed to explaining and then saying yes or no. Because when you're explaining, it seems like you're avoiding trying to answer. If you answer it directly, it's more forceful, it's more persuasive, and then you can explain.
It's interesting because that's almost like a two-way dance, right? Because like you said, you know, you'd ask a client to just, you know, answer the question and you'll deal with the rest, like the context. But that works when you have a good lawyer who has your back and who's alert and knows what they're doing, right? So I guess that's when it goes wrong, when people don't have someone who's switched on, because then they kind of feel like they have to do some of the work themselves if the other
That's
one's
right.
like asleep, you know, after a night out at, you know.
That's right.
And so yeah, so it really depends on having like being in a good team. That's very important.
Yeah. And your job is to be the client, or at that point, your job is to be the witness. And the lawyer's job is always to be the lawyer, but you shouldn't have to do both. Absolutely correct.
Are there any particular situation where it's really, really difficult to do this? And are there any like types of questions that are very tricky? I know we went with the name, like really simple questions, but are there things that you see that are very
Yes.
difficult for
Okay.
everybody?
So, have you had a boyfriend before?
Yes.
Okay. So let's pretend you're dating someone right now. He's your boyfriend. And I ask you the following question. Angie, when did you stop beating your boyfriend?
Can I say I never beaten him? Like, is that
Well, right. So that is.
because it was a leading question. It was
It's not
assumptive.
leading, it assumes
Assumptive.
facts, not in evidence, right? It has an assumption in there that you beat your boyfriend. So what I would do is I would object to the question as your lawyer and instruct you not to answer it, right? And this is why lawyers have to do step by step. The first question is, have you ever beaten your boyfriend?
No.
No, I never get to the next question, right? And then I'll be like, well, have you ever slapped him? Have you ever hit him? Have you ever touched him in a way that he did not approve of? Like I'll ask the same question 15 different ways, because maybe my client is saying, Angie, slap me. And I said the word beat, not slap. And you're like, well, I didn't beat him. I just slapped him. Right? So yeah, that's one of those kind of tricky questions, so to speak. But that will happen all the time. Is like, when did you first pick up your kids on time for school?
Every
Right,
day.
right. When and maybe the guys gets confused and he's like, "What do you mean? Well, did you ever pick them up late?" Right, and it's the lawyer is looking for you to give very direct answers. But sometimes, like you said earlier, your memory might not be as good. So you can give yourselves out. You can say, to the best of my recollection, I think I've picked them up on time every day. Right? It's not every day. And then he lists out like 5 days where you missed. Right? Right. So you can, I think, like, when did you move out of the house? approximately the summer of 2024. Do you know what month? Not off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. And then you stop. And then you don't say, but I could check my cell phone and find out. Like, you don't, that, because now the lawyer's going to be like, do you have your cell phone with you? Where is it kept in your cell phone? And now I'm going to do a subpoena to the phone records, right? Like, don't give them anything to go down another path.
Yeah. But it makes sense when you say it, but it's really easy to give the other party ammunition, right? It's very easy to go, yeah. Oh, I can check. It's like, it's almost like you have to, it sounds like to me that you almost have to not do the work for them. Make sure that it's almost like you have to treat the other lawyer like your employee that you really don't like, that you're like, they're always like not doing enough work. Let's give them more work. Like being really not mean, but you know, like a little bit mean and go, oh, I don't recall. Not offer. Well, I can check for you if you'd like.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Do you want me to check? I've got my phone in my bag.
whatever mental images you need to do to not give them any more than they ask for.
No people pleasing, not trying to get them to like you, basically.
That's right.
Mm-hmm, not right. Being helpful. Got it. What, is there anything?
A lot of lawyers get really nice in depositions. They're not jerks because they get more information that way. Mm-hmm. They want to turn this into a conversation, right? They want you just to talk. And then they might try to nail you down on something. So just follow the rules.
Yeah.
And also, the night before, have some chicken soup.
Obviously, calm you down, yeah. So yeah, but essentially because like things like on top, top of my head, what is it? Top of my mind, I don't remember. Is that the phrase that you used?
Yeah, or to the best of my recollection, off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't recall. Is that good?
Approximately. Mm-hmm. They're all good if they're true. Right? They're all, and I don't recall isn't always the best because if it's something important, like, did your kid ever go to the hospital for stitches? I don't recall. You would think you would recall that, right? Mm-hmm, so it all, to your point, is in context.
Okay. Is there anything else you feel like you need to know, like how to prep for the position?
The only other thing is really know about the theme of your case. Ask your lawyer, what are you trying to prove? How are you trying to prove it? What's the theme? You know, your themes, like, hey, I'm a great dad. Nothing he said, like, you know, like when he comes back and says, attack me, you know, you can always go, well, I don't know. I was too busy focused on raising the kids. I was too busy making dinner. Like, why don't you remember? I was probably making dinner for the kids and getting their lunches and doing their homework. Like, right? Those are reasons or excuses why you don't remember something.
Yeah.
Right? Well, did you get text message? Yes. Do you recall it? No. Well, why not? Because I get thousands of text messages.
Yeah.
Right? So just stay calm.
Thank you so much, Steph. That was like really useful. I want to say, because I think last time we spoke, you were engaged, right? I heard you said wife. So I want to say congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It only took us 14 years of dating to get engaged and married.
Well, you want to be sure, right? So.
No, that's what she said.
Yeah. No, it's congratulations for that.
Thank you.
I wanted to, I still ask all my guests the finishing thoughts, the last two questions.
Yep.
The same ones. And I went back and dug up what you said last time, if you wanted to hear what you said after you've answered. But the first question is, what life lesson do you wish you'd learn sooner?
Investing in money, like saving money.
You actually did say that last time too.
There we go.
But you said, hang on. I'm planning living with you. Yeah. You said about like living within your means, financial planning, but you also said something else. You want to hear what else you said?
Sure.
Yeah. So you said that sometimes we're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Yep.
And we think that something is huge and it's not. And that's that right. Bit, that side is stressful. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the second question is, What is something you no longer put up with?
Oh, well, see, the problem with answering this question, that's a long list.
Go on.
So something I no longer put up with. I set better boundaries. I don't let people take my time. So I don't know what I answered last time, but.
No, you didn't answer that, but you answered, but I guess it's a little bit. No, you answered something different. You said negativity. You said that I've learned partly through the show and partly from what I do is that when people have negative reactions towards me, most of the time it has nothing to do with me. It's whatever's going on with them.
Yep. Yeah, it's a little bit of the same because that's that boundary I put up. Like I don't, if there's someone negative, like let's say, and this happened to me many, many years ago, there was an opposing counsel who really was inappropriate and unprofessional. And she sent this email late at night that was like one of the apology, non-apology emails where she doesn't really say she's sorry.
Yeah.
And, but in it, she asked if we could go to lunch to kind of clear the air. And I said, well, it appears to me that your email was an apology. If that's what it was, it's accepted. Regarding lunch, I respectfully decline. And this person came up to me and says, I can't believe you declined that lunch. You should go. And I told them, the most important thing that we all have is time, and none of us know how much we have of it. So I struggle to spend my time with people that I love and care for and my friends. I'm not going to waste my time to go to lunch with someone that I don't care for or respect. And if you want to hold that against me because I didn't have a lunch with someone to break bread and have an olive branch, then hold it against me. But I'd rather go out with my son and my friends or my wife or whatever the case is and work through lunch and get home a little earlier to spend time with people that I care about.
I agree.
Those are those boundaries.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Because also I think when you say no, sorry, when you say yes, when you meant to say no, what always ends up happening is that you like yourself less. Yeah. And that's actually having this negativity also seep into you because it's like you're poisoning yourself, right? So
that's right.
Definitely. Yeah. Boundaries is big. I think it's big for so many people. I think it's big for all of us. I even did an episode on it. I think probably two now, but one not long ago. Cause I think it's so important. And it's not, a lot of people don't, it's sometimes it's even hard to know what your boundaries are at times. Like when, if you don't take a beat and just think about it and go actually, where do I stand on this? So yeah, no, that's really good. Sev, can you, look, always a pleasure to speak with you. Before you tell us where we can find you or work with you, like, you know, how people can find you if they want to, you know, hire you and things like that. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us that I may not have given you the opportunity to?
Well, I just tell you, when going through a divorce, it's horrible. The process is terrible. But there's better days ahead and stay focused on what's important. Make a list about what's important to you. Is it to keep the kids in the school district? Is it to have so much time with them? But if so, why? You got to get to the why you want to do things. I want to keep the house. Well, okay, but why do you want to keep the house? To keep the kids in a good school. Okay, are you willing to give up retirement dollars to keep the house? So you're going to have to make some decisions. So write out what's important to you and go to your lawyer and say, here's what's really important when I think about it. And don't get bogged down in all the little things.
Good advice. Yeah. That's good advice for life, actually, not just divorce, I think. That's really good. Yeah. So yeah, tell us, like, where can people find you, listen to your podcast, all of the good things?
So anywhere, if you just Google how to split a toaster or divorce podcast, it will be top of Google because no one else has that crazy name. And then as far as the law firm, it is just, you can Google Seth Nelson Attorney, but it's NLG Divorce and Family Law. And you can just find us there. And it's nlgfamilylaw.com or just do a search and you'll find it. And we're in Hillsborough County, Florida, but we also do cases all over the state and I've consulted on cases around the country. So
thank you so much for your time, Seth. Absolute pleasure to have you. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me again.
And that's our episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend. It can be a screenshot that you text them, a link, the name of it, any of those will do. If you give a 5-star rating and a review, that really, really helps the algorithm for it to be shared on all the different platforms. And just a little note, Please be aware that this podcast is always free to listen to. Any platforms that want to charge you for it are doing so without my consent, okay? This is free. You can listen to it on Apple, Spotify, all of the other regular listening platforms that don't charge you. This is free. So don't let someone charge you to listen to my podcast. Until next time.
Using health inappropriately.